This is Ted Kennedy. Congress and the White House are on a collision course over the first big legislation of 1989, raising the minimum wage. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, is this fight really necessary? Congress and the Bush administration are at odds over the minimum wage. The president has already threatened to veto any bill that crosses the line he's drawn in the dirt. But that line is unfair. For the first time in the 50-year history of the minimum wage, they want to undermine it with a sub-minimum wage applicable to all workers for the first 6 months they're on the job. The administration calls that a training wage, Al, but that's preposterous. There's no requirement for any training. Under the administration's own numbers, a realistic training period for minimum wage jobs is 30 days at most, not 6 months. The minimum wage is the most effective anti-poverty program we have. Ask the administration to start supporting it, Al, and stop subverting it with a phony training wage.
Ted, it's not phony, for unless the minimum wage increase is kept to a minimum and coupled with a training wage, it will only cost America. And those costs will be borne only by the working poor, those on fixed incomes, employers, the American consumer, and even the poor, and it is, federal government. If employers have to raise the wages, they'll be forced to hire fewer workers and raise their prices. For each 10% increase in the minimum wage, between 100,000 and 200,000 jobs are lost. As the prices rise, those who have the toughest time meeting ends are the poor and those on fixed incomes. The minimum wage is not some fail-safe anti-poverty gimmick. In fact, the poverty level in this country has gone down while the real value of the minimum wage declines. You seem to like to make this your cause, Ted, but you have no basis in fact at all to support the increase. Just emotion. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on using taxpayer funds when we promised we wouldn't. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. When Congress says they will never spend taxpayer dollars on a certain project, what is our obligation on down the road? Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the Martin Luther King Holiday Commission. Ted, you and I both voted to pass the federal holiday honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and we also established a commission to promote the holiday and the civil rights goals he represented. It was, and still is, a good idea. But the original legislation clearly required that all funding for the commission would come from contributed funds. Now, just a few years down the road, the Judiciary Committee has approved legislation putting up $300,000 a year in taxpayer money for the commission. There wasn't even a minimum effort to demand that private donations match the public funds. I agreed to send the bill on to the full Senate, Ted, but we have some honest questions about the original intent here, and don't lay that old racist stuff on me. I'd bring this one up regardless of which commission was overreaching.
Al, what kind of double talk is that? You've questioned the funding for the commission, but you haven't said whether you're for it or against it. So let old Ted help you make up your mind. When Congress passed the law establishing Dr. King's birthday as a federal holiday, we also created an ongoing commission to oversee the commemoration. It's true the commission was intended to be privately funded, but launching a new federal holiday is no easy task. Six states and a large number of cities and towns still refuse to accept it. The commission did go the extra mile in seeking private funds, but it hasn't been enough. So we face an obvious choice: let the holiday fail or help it succeed. If you support the federal holiday, Al, the right thing to do is to support the federal help. And while you're at it, Al, take that commission to Wyoming and do what you can to make Dr. King's birthday a state holiday there. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on new ways for the feds to help local law enforcement win the war on drugs. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy, Republicans are soft on drug crime. How else can Senator Al Simpson explain the administration's refusal to fund tough street-level law enforcement in the war on drugs? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the Reagan administration talked big but did little in the war on drugs. Exhibit A is their refusal to fund new ideas to help local police in day-to-day combat against drugs. Some communities have had significant success with intensive crackdowns in drug-infested neighborhoods, and it can work in other communities. Police make saturation arrests of traffickers, dealers, and buyers. They eliminate street sales, close down shooting galleries, and break up drug bazaars. That cuts muggings, burglaries, and other drug-related crimes and gives streets back to the neighborhood. It reduces demand for drugs, too. Addicts can't feed their habits, so they sign up in droves for treatment of their addiction. When practical ideas like that come along, Al, They deserve to be supported and funded. You can't just say no.
Ted, I've always said yes. You are stunningly out of touch with reports from the front on the Reagan and Bush war on drugs. From 1981 through 88, the Reagan administration tripled federal spending for the anti-drug program from $1.1 billion in 81 to $3.3 billion in 88. Reagan had asked for a 15% increase for 89, and President Bush's anti-drug request is $1 billion over last year. That's real money for real treatment, prevention, and enforcement. Ted, you and your old liberal tax-and-spend buddies have to learn eventually that the drug problem isn't solved by smothering it with money. And you always wither and come up short when it comes to a real solution of imposing the ultimate penalty of death on drug kingpins who commit murder in the plying of their ruinous trade. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on important environmental policy. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush was so right to move toward a ban on chlorofluorocarbons. The world community was excited and all agree. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, an international conference was recently convened to find solutions to restore the diminishing ozone layer. I'm talking about the scientific definition of ozone, Ted, not the liberal fuzzy ozone you frequently find yourself up to your neck in. Damage to the ozone has been found to cause cancer, cataracts, and harm to the immune system. Prior to the conference, President Bush directed our fine new EPA Administrator Bill Riley to state that the United States would endorse a ban on CFCs, which are used in aerosol sprayers, computer hardware, and for coolants. CFCs are the chemicals found to do the greatest damage to the Earth's ozone. President Bush's leadership is helping to spur more members of the world community toward a worldwide ban, Ted. It's a key environmental issue, Ted, and he sure scored big here.
Al, President Bush did the right thing on ozone, but he did it a little late. The president was embarrassed when our European allies went off without him with their own pledge to stop polluting the ozone layer by the year 2000. President Bush scrambled to catch up and announce his own commitment. As the saying goes, when you're about to be run out of town, get out in front and make it look like a parade. The ozone fiasco is just one more example of the disarray in the administration. What's more, Al, the administration's actions didn't go far enough. The year 2000 is a long way off. It gives too much time for more pollution. The health danger from destruction of the ozone is serious. We ought to expedite our action and ban those polluting chemicals as soon as possible. Instead of playing catch-up to the Europeans, Al, the administration needs to speed up its decisions and shape up its policy. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a way he might like to make government programs more effective. Tune in tomorrow in the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A new idea called public enterprise can make government more effective. Will Senator Al Simpson endorse it? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, here's an idea to warm your right-wing heart, applying free enterprise to make government programs work. I call it public enterprise. Too often, tax dollars go out, regardless of whether any results come in. That approach would bankrupt the private sector. No customer will guarantee the local 7-Eleven they'll pay for coffee whether they like the product or not. The coffee won't be ready. And even if it is, it'll be old and cold. That's what the public is telling us about government. A cup of hot coffee is fine, but don't spend tax dollars for cold federal brew. Let's try it, Al. Give states broader leeway to design local programs, but insist in return on real value for federal dollars. A healthy dose of public enterprise can shape up a lot of flabby social programs in a hurry, Al, and give American taxpayers full value for their tax dollar.
Ted, I'm lying here on the floor. A lecture from you on tax dollars and wasteful spending? Wow. Let's try the conservative policy of block grants. Come on board. The Social Services Block Grant gives states discretion to decide which social services will be offered and who will be eligible to receive them. Uncle Sam's primary role is to provide the necessary support for meeting the educational, social services, and training needs of all the various programs. But the individual states are always in the best position to select results tailored to their own unique needs. The block grant concept also keeps those goofy, cockamamie liberal programs of yours from demanding federal solutions always to problems that may or may not exist in the individual states. Some of those schemes have been your very favorites. Do tell, Ted, why the change in heart? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the Budget Challenge to Congress. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The National Economic Commission has now finished its work on the budget recommendations. It sure won't make our jobs any easier. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the National Economic Commission spent 11 months wrestling recommendations of reducing the budget deficit, and after all of that sweat, they couldn't come up with a solution. Congress had desperately hoped the commission might give us what all politicians long for, cover, when it comes to making the tough decisions, but they didn't. And our deadline for reaching a budget resolution by May 15th is fast upon us. It's so important to note that not a single member of the commission recommended new tax increases. And in light of public opinion polls, we know that option is just not there. Congress, and it's you Democrats who hold the majority in the votes, need to do some awful heavy lifting, pal. Reducing spending on entitlements, domestic programs, and yes, defense outlays. Ready, Ted? You'll have a hernia.
Al, Congress and the administration have had some worthwhile successes in recent years with expert bipartisan commissions, advising us on problems that defy easy solutions. So it made sense to try the commission route again, to see if a better way could be found to reduce the budget deficit. Things didn't quite work out as we hoped, and this commission was a fiasco. The problem was that the commission members had to do their work in the glare of an election year. They thought their assignment was to read up on the economy, but they wound up reading George Bush's lips instead. Their deliberations were polarized and politicized. Now the ball is back in Congress's court, Al. President Bush still wants no new taxes, but it's far from clear that the deficit target can be met without unacceptable cuts in vital social programs. Stay tuned, Al. The budget debate may get worse before it gets better. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on 37 million Americans who don't have health insurance. It's a national disgrace. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. 37 million Americans have no health insurance. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, 37 million Americans have no health insurance. Two-thirds are full-time workers whose bosses refuse to make insurance available. Can't we agree that's wrong, Al? Isn't it time to insist that all firms should offer at least a minimum level of health insurance to all workers? It'll cost private companies some money, about $20 a week per worker, but health insurance should be a basic right of working men and women. We already have laws on maximum hours, minimum wages, job safety, and child labor. Why not health care? The Senate ensures your health, Al. The majority of employees in the private sector work for firms that offer health insurance. Why should other companies exploit their workers in order to make higher profits by cutting corners and refusing to provide insurance? Let's make this the Health Insurance Congress, Al. 37 million Americans are waiting for your answer. Is it thumbs up or thumbs down?
Ted, it's neither. Your thumb is in your eye. Your cockeyed plan is a veiled attempt to lead this country down the road to socialized medicine and crudely interfere in the workplace, a typical Kennedy plan. While the proposal to require all employers to provide health insurance to all workers and their dependents won't cost Uncle Sam much, business, especially small business, would get hit by a hammer. The total cost to employers of providing health care to all currently uninsured workers would be more than $26 billion. $20 per week per worker. For a small worker employing just 10 people, it would be a wipeout for most. Paying $10,400 per year for health insurance over and above their current cost for employee benefits, that's real money in the real workplace. What a knockout punch, and so unfair. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Environmental Zealots. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. When it comes to the debate on acid rain, Ted Kennedy is all wet, wetter than the rain. We'll face off in a moment. Ted, not long ago we talked about my ideas for common sense acid rain reductions. I heard your response, and boy, are you uninformed. The bill I sponsored before with our fine Democrat colleague Bill Proxmire received the support of a bipartisan coalition of governors across the country. We call for 10 million ton reduction in emissions. The Proxmire-Simpson legislation is tougher than a bill crafted by Congressman Henry Waxman, your ultra-liberal colleague in the House, who is the absolute darling of single-minded and even some simple-minded environmental groups. You miss the point, Ted. Radical environmental zealots, along with radical business groups, have been torpedoing reasonable acid rain legislation for years. They do that because they totally refuse to compromise. Come on, Ted, let's pull together on this one and clean up the air once and for all.
Al, you just won't let go of a bad idea. You don't even understand the provisions of your own bill. It makes me wonder if you read it or just swallowed it. The pollution industry fat cats put together a compromise they could live with. They ran it up the Simpson flagpole, and old Acid Rain Al promptly saluted it. Your bill is flawed, Al, and that's not just my opinion. Ronald Reagan's Environmental Protection Agency was not exactly a hotbed of zealots, but they knew a sham when they saw one, and they couldn't recognize your bill from the way you describe it. They studied your proposal and found it didn't come within a Wyoming mile of achieving the phony claims you've been touting. Your pro-polluter tactics are getting subtle these days, Al. You used to just stand there and say no when environmental groups call for action on acid rain. Now, instead of saying do nothing, you at least say do a little. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on voter registration. It's time for reform. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Voter registration. It's the next civil rights issue. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, for too long, we've tolerated unfair voter registration laws that deny the right to vote by making registration an obstacle course for potential voters. 60 million eligible Americans would not have been able to vote last November, even if they wanted to, because they never ran the gauntlet of registration. What we've been slow to realize is that registration is a civil rights issue. Burdensome requirements operate in unfair ways that discriminate against minorities. Some registration offices are inaccessible to public transportation. Others are open only at inconvenient hours. Still others purge the rolls too often so that voters are forced to re-register unnecessarily. The result is a serious disparity in registration between minorities and other groups. That's wrong, and Congress ought to step in by requiring states with gross disparities to make registration more available.
Voter registration and voter turnout have declined. But get real, Ted. This isn't some civil rights issue. It has nothing to do with intentional discrimination. The real culprit is public apathy. Voting is one of the greatest privileges and responsibilities that democracy offers to its citizens. In the last general election, less than half of the eligible voters in America voted. That included big groups of folks who were registered, and they were all no-shows. Voting is the gauge of a politician. The way that Americans make their opinions known about the person running. If they don't show up, it's the politician's fault. I'm all for new ideas and methods to promote voter registration, not just send a van around town. But your words today divide us more than they unify us, Ted. That's what turns the voters off. They don't believe us. And that's what keeps them away from the polls. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush says he won't set up an emergency mediation board to help settle the troublesome Eastern Airlines dispute. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, it is darn sure not appropriate for Congress to meddle in this private business negotiation. Eastern Chairman Frank Lorenzo and the union have been negotiating a new contract for over 17 months now with the help of a mediation board. The president can't pull any rabbits from his hat with some new mediator. The strike has forced Eastern into bankruptcy. Smart cookies, those union guys of yours. It is an ugly and difficult situation, Ted, for the workers, the management, and the airline industry. All of us want to see the dispute resolved as swiftly as possible, but Congress would be way out of its element at this time telling the president how to handle this baby.
Al, you missed the point, and the president missed an opportunity. The airline's likely to be sold, so we can't unscramble the eggs now. But they should never have been scrambled this way in the first place. President Bush should have done exactly what presidents of both political parties have done in 34 airline disputes going back to the 1940s. He should have used the available statutory procedure to appoint a presidential emergency board before the strike began. That way, he could have kept the airline flying and the workers on the job, while the board made proposals for a settlement or sale. President Reagan used that procedure 10 times, Al. Why not President Bush? Even though the earlier mediation failed, the presidential board might easily have succeeded. Under the spotlight of public opinion and presidential involvement, the parties would have been under real pressure to compromise. A reasonable federal law was there to be used, Al, but President Bush used the law of the jungle instead. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a pay raise for federal judges. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The American flying public deserves better answers to what went wrong in the Pan Am Flight 103 terrorist bombing. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the terrorist attack on Pan Am Flight 103 last December was an enormous tragedy for the 270 victims and their families. But the tragedy has been compounded over the past 4 months by the unsatisfactory answers to the troubling questions being raised. Federal officials seem to have had remarkably detailed information about the type of bomb and the nature of the threat. Some government travelers were warned about the threat, but the public was not. It's the old Watergate question now. What did the FAA and Pan Am know? When did they know it? And what did they do about it? We need to get to the bottom of those questions, Al. The best way is through an independent investigation to find the facts and let the chips fall where they may. What's wrong with that idea, Al? Don't tell me you oppose it.
It's not Watergate, Ted. Everybody's investigating it. What can Congress add to it all? We all want to know the full story on the tragedy of Pan Am Flight 103. More importantly, we need to know how we can prevent these disturbing things. If there were lapses in security measures by the airline or by the airports at which the flight landed, the families of the victims and the traveling public must know that, and then corrective measures must be taken. It is sobering to know that these terrorist acts can occur in spite of all the security measures that are taken. We obviously aren't able to assure 100% safety against terrorist attempts, but that should be our goal. How could this tragedy have occurred? Could it have been prevented? We want to know who is responsible, but it happened outside our country. When all the facts are in, we will deal accordingly. The terrorist thugs who committed this cowardly act are the ones who deserve our contempt and scorn, Ted, not the airline whose flight was the victim of the tragic attack. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The long quest for peace in Southwest Africa is now hanging in the balance. Will Ted Kennedy push for decisive action on the part of the United Nations? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, the United States played a very key role in crafting a peace agreement in Southwest Africa. That agreement provides for the removal of all Cuban troops from Angola, and it calls for an independent Namibia, free from South Africa's colonial rule. That process for peace and for free and fair elections began on April 1st, but the Southwest Africa People's Organization, SWAPO, has jeopardized the entire agreement by attacking United Nations security forces right on day one. The UN has to now act decisively to assure that this shameful incident is not repeated. It's long past time for peace in South Africa, Ted, and the way to peace has now been mapped out. Maybe it's the time for the UN to give lessons in map reading to irresponsible elements of the SWAPO forces.
Al, the peace agreement negotiated by the United States last year for the South African forces to leave Namibia in return for the Cuban troops leaving Angola was one of the most significant foreign policy achievements of the Reagan administration. No one wants to see it come unstuck because of the recent fighting. Under the agreement, a 7-month-long process began April 1st for free elections and independence for Namibia, supervised by the United Nations. But the SWAPO guerrillas, who have been fighting South Africa's illegal occupation of Namibia for a quarter century, tried to take advantage of the accord. They launched a series of incursions into Namibia from bases across the border in Angola. The fighting that has erupted is ominous, Al. It's a test of the ability of the United Nations, the United States, and other countries to salvage the agreement. Let's hope we're up to the task. If this long-standing guerrilla war stays settled, there's hope for settling other festering regional conflicts, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a pay raise for federal judges. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The nation is falling behind in science and technology. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, science and technology are essential to all aspects of our national life, but we've been neglecting the store lately. 20 years ago this July, our preeminence became the envy of the world when the first astronauts landed on the moon and returned safely to Earth. New high-tech industries were born, and thousands of young men and women were inspired to begin careers in science. In those days, Al, we were responding to the challenge of the Soviet satellite Sputnik. But now, federal support for research and development has dried up, a victim of the Reagan budget cuts and our misplaced priorities. This is one issue where you and I can stand together, Al, and with the Bush administration, too. It's time for a new federal effort, equivalent to our response to Sputnik a generation ago. Let's make America second to none in science and technology, instead of second to Western Europe and Japan.
Reagan is gone, Ted. You can't use him as a whipping boy anymore, but I think we might make a Republican out of you yet. Your comments fall right in line with the concerns of our fine new president. He has an aggressive commitment to create the American edge in the areas of science and technology, emphasizing leadership in space. We're pleased to have you on board, Ted. George Bush believes exploration of space helps to define us as a people, our willingness to take great risks for great rewards, to strive for knowledge and growth. It's symbolic of the role of leadership we seek in the world. He's asked for a 22% increase in NASA funding up to $13 billion, and I'm ready to support that. The president has also requested a 13% funding increase for programs like the National Science Foundation, engineering research centers, advanced computing centers, and much, much more. It's a solid commitment to leadership in science and technology, second to none. That really is something we can work together on, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on President Bush's education priorities. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush sent up his new education spending priorities to Congress last week. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the president has presented us with a solid package of educational initiatives that are drafted to provide for the highest quality education possible. That is surely a common goal for all of us in this great country. The president's bill will recognize and reward excellence in education, target federal funds to those who need it the most, encourage educational choice and flexibility, and give us greater accountability in our educational system. For $422 million, Ted, this investment in greater educational achievement is a package that can really work. Real incentives for students and teachers, a concept so long overdue. We now invest more than $330 billion in education annually. That's a huge sum. We in Congress must assure that federal, state, and local authorities expend these funds and manage these programs to best meet these very important goals and challenges.
Be real, Al. The president's proposal on education is a worthwhile measure, but it's only a first step, and a small one at that. Its real significance is that 8 years of relentless budget cuts in education under the Reagan administration are finally over. What's happened, Al, is that we've gone from an anti-education president to a pro-education president, and that's a very important difference. We can't rebuild Rome in a day, though. It'll take years to reach the goal of restoring excellence in education, but at least and at last we're moving in the right direction instead of the far right direction. One measure of the challenge we face is that President Bush's proposal would boost spending next year by less than 2%. That's only half of what it would take just to keep up with inflation. So we're still falling behind, Al. To be the education president, George Bush will have to take a bigger step than this. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a pay raise for federal judges. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Congress's pay raise may or may not be dead, but should federal judges suffer too? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Chief Justice Rehnquist did an extraordinary thing the other day. He called a press conference to say that the greatest problem facing the judiciary is lack of adequate pay for judges. He was talking straight at you, Al. When you and your right-wing friends rejected the congressional pay raise, you hurt the judges too, because their pay was part of the package. The same brain drain applies to the executive branch. We're driving judges off the bench and NIH scientists out of their labs, because Congress won't raise anyone else's pay unless we raise our own. Now a high-level commission headed by Paul Volcker has urged us to try again, and President Bush has just made a similar recommendation. What about it, Al? You don't often side with me on the issues, but this time you'll be siding with Chief Justice Rehnquist, Paul Volcker, and George Bush, too.
My right-wing friends rejected the pay raise. It sounded like Niagara Falls when all of your Democratic pals were jumping ship on that one. You bet I'll join in recommending higher pay for judges. We desperately need to assure that our judicial system attracts the finest, most qualified people. But first, let's take a second little look at that last pay raise vote, Ted. In fact, 93 senators, right-wingers as you call them, joined with me in soundly defeating that misguided raise. That includes your leadership, Senators Mitchell and Cranston. With that kind of a right wing, we're going to be really able to accomplish some great things, working with our fine Republican president. Great. Federal employees must also embrace the highest ethical standards, and that just has to apply to members of Congress as well. The president will soon send up a good, tough ethics bill, which all also support. How about you, Ted? Some of your Democratic friends in the House have gone to the clink. Will you support the president on both fronts? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The cost of cleaning up the nation's savings and loan mess climbs ever higher each and every day. Congress must act. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, for the past 8 months, you and your pals who control the Congress have paid lots of lip service to the idea of finding a speedy resolution to the savings and loan crisis. But where are the results? President Bush moved so fast to tackle the tremendous problems in the industry, producing a sound and solid package within the first 18 days of his administration. Yet only now do we have the legislation before the Congress. The most recent estimates of the cost of the S&L bailout range from 50 to 65 billion bucks, and that total is compounding at a rate of 15 to 20%. We can't afford to delay a decisive resolution any longer. We lose millions a day, and even some healthy thrifts are in grave danger. It's time to quit talking about the problem, Ted, and get on with it.
Al, the real issue is why taxpayers have to ante up their hard-earned tax dollars to pay for the waste, mismanagement, and outright fraud that got the country into this mess in the first place. If taxpayers have to cough up billions for this bailout, the least they deserve is a vigorous prosecution of the fly-by-night SNL artists who caused the crisis. Another fact you conveniently didn't mention, Al, is the inept regulation by the Reagan administration while the scandal was happening. They must have thought deregulation meant no regulation. The Bush administration hasn't inspired confidence either. They originally wanted to tax savings deposits to pay for the bailout, but Congress rejected that scheme as soon as it surfaced. The second Bush plan is much better, but we've already had to correct one defect that would have cost taxpayers over $4 billion. Fast action, yes, Al, but next time, don't ask Congress to rubber stamp a flawed plan. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the bipartisan plan to aid Contras in Nicaragua. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.